0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. I've heard them described recently as volunteer firefighters. They are not volunteer firefighters. They are highly trained firefighters, and they're called retained firefighters. And that means, well, let's ask them. They've contacted us. What does it mean? Brian Murray. Brian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Are you a retained firefighter?
I am. I'm a retained firefighter now for 15 years, just over 15 years in Bray.
And what does that mean?
That means basically I'm a firefighter. The only difference between ourselves and like a full-time station would be we carry a pager.
Yeah.
So our day-to-day life revolves around the pager and having to stay within a 2.5 kilometre radius of the fire station.
But do most retained firefighters have day jobs?
Some do. Depends on the part of the country you live in. In Bray, a lot of the lads in our station don't, because we're so busy. So employers around the town tend not to sort of, you know, employ us, because we could be in and out quite a bit and disrupt their day as well, you know.
And doesn't apply in your case, but does an employer have to allow, if you're a retained firefighter and your pager goes off for a road traffic accident or a fire or a tragedy, because you suicides or whatever, God forbid, does your employer have to let you go?
No, they don't, Joe. When you initially apply for the service, you fill out your application, obviously, and you have to get your employer at the time of you applying for the fire service to allow you leave. So they fill out a section on the form. Now, the county council themselves, they tend not to hire you, but expect other businesses around the place to hire you. So
the county council, who run the fire service, don't generally hire people who are in the retained fire service, because they might have to go off and answer a fire call.
That's correct, Joe, yeah.
Now, Brian, the other thing as well is your father, as we know, is Brian Murray and Mark O'Shaughnessy, were two retained firefighters in Bray, where you are, and it was a Wicklow town, am I wrong? I think it's Wicklow town, Bray, okay. But your father and Mark were killed in 2007 fighting a fire. So what propelled you to join, Brian? Were you not put off, so to speak?
No, not at all, Joe, no. That was never going to deter me. I mean, it's something that I was always going to do, so that was never going to put me off joining at all.
But your father was a young man. Mark O'Shaughnessy was even younger, I think.
Yeah.
And how did people get, insofar as you can, how did people get over that awful tragedy?
What do you mean? You just learn to get on with it, Joe, you know? It is what it is. It happened, and the priority here is to make the service better for everybody around the country. You know, firefighters and people in members of the public, so that tragedies like that are avoidable and don't happen, you know. Unfortunately, the retained service has been stretched for years. In Bray, we've had the national issues that are happening now. We've had them in Bray for 30 years since the station opened, and now it's starting to creep in around the country.
What do you mean the national issues, Brian?
Well, the issues that are out there now, recruitment, retention, pay, the stuff that we're, you know, that we're in dispute over.
Okay, so how is
things have been going on in Bray for a long time, you know?
Okay,
and that's well documented anyway. So.
Okay. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 is the text number. Sorry for talking over you there, Brian. So, Brian, how are you paid then?
We're paid a retainer. So if you join the Forest Service today and you start, the only money you're guaranteed is, it's in around 8,500 a year, Joe.
Okay.
That's what you're guaranteed, and then you're paid per call out.
Okay.
So if you're in a quiet station, say for instance, where Jer is based there in Carneal or whatever, or any small town, they're confined to that small area waiting for a call that they might not get.
Yeah.
But they're only getting a retainer for their call, you know. So that's how it works. It's as simple as that. And
but
it's not workable for people, you know.
But is that not the only way you can work, Brian? like
absolutely not, Joe. I mean, I don't buy that for 1 minute, and I'm sorry for jumping across you there, but we should be paid a wage the way anyone else is. For the time we put in, the sacrifices our lads make, I mean, we can't go to Tesco's without planning. It's like a military operation.
Well, explain,
you know,
explain that to listeners, and explain about going to the beach that you
can't. Well, I mean, like yesterday, for instance, there was a bank holiday weekend, right?
Yeah.
We'd lads there that couldn't go down near Bray Seafront because the traffic's too bad on it to get the kids an ice cream. Do you know what I mean? Because they will not be able to turn out to a fire call from there. We're tightly wound 24/7.
Okay,
there's no downtime or time off.
So your point is, if I was on call at the weekend, and I'm rostered on call, and that's the cover there, the payment there is the 8,500 per annum, which is not much to say the least.
No.
You're on call, but it means, what is it? You have to be within 2.5k of the station, and is there a time frame on that, Brian?
Yeah, obviously, if it's an emergency, you want to be there as quick as possible. So when the pager goes off, the call starts there for us. It's in and around, it's hoped that you'd be there within 10 minutes.
Okay.
I think that's the acceptable average
around
the country. I'm not sure now, though.
Your point is, if I had gone down to the beach in Bray yesterday, I not only had to think about the 2.5k, which you probably are just about, but I actually had to think of how would I get from A to the fire station within 10 minutes.
Yeah, everything you do is based around how you're going to get to the station. So if you have to go down the main street in Bray, which can be quite congested, you have to sort of pre-plan where you're going to park. If you're down there with your partner and your kids, and you know yourself, sometimes you want to go to different shops or different areas.
Yeah.
You have to be in constant mobile phone contact so that if a call comes in, that I can let them know that we need to go now, you know, to the car, get up to the station or whatever. So.
But does that mean, Brian, I don't know your own circumstances, does that mean if I had very young children, I had two young children under five, and I wanted, I don't know if there is a Smith's in Bray or whatever, but I wanted to go down to Smith's and they wanted to run around the place, that I would have to bring another adult with me.
You would, or you'd have to run around with them, Joe. That's the reality. My kids were brought up very young when I joined the service, so I was relying on other people around me. If I got a call when I went to the station and if I had the kids with me, that another adult would come, obviously, and collect them from the station. Or if I was downtown and I got a call, I'd be making phone calls on my way to the station to see if somebody would come get the kids.
Okay.
You know, so it's just a non-workable situation in 2023. You know, people can't be.
But are the people who are engaged in industrial action, which is 2,000 at the minute, is your claim that every station should be a full-time station?
No, we're not claiming that at all. We're claiming that every firefighter around the country that's on call 24/7, 365 days of the year should be paid a wage, a living wage, something that they're guaranteed they're going to get every 2 weeks or every month, and that if they can have time off with their families and stuff. So, I mean, we're living in, and I know it's been said a few times, we live in the COVID lockdown mode 24/7. I mean, the rest of the public had a glimpse of what it was like to be a retained firefighter during COVID. And that's their reality every day.
And you say that Bray is busy, obviously, it's a population and roads. What are your call-outs? What's your most recent call-out?
We were at a car accident yesterday. I mean, I wouldn't want to come on and sort of divulge what calls were or whatever.
No,
but we give you an instance of... Like, we could go to anything, Joe, from a fire alarm to... suicides, drownings, car accidents, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't know. You don't know what's next, you know.
And is it fair to say that given one of the issues is that the number of fires has decreased because of regulations, materials, flammability, but the number of car and accidents has increased?
That's obviously, it's a good thing that you know, the stuff, the homes and all are safer, and that's great, but We're on standby for anything that can happen. I mean, it's not necessarily just, it's fire and rescue. It's not just fire.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, you know, it could be anything from, you know, the hills on Bray Head going up to, I mean, we've even had light aircraft accidents in our area over the years. So it, to say that we just attend fires is, you know, fires are probably actually going down a little bit more, you know, as you said, so. We also we do medical calls as well. So obviously there's a bit of a crisis in the National Ambulance at the moment. So we do pick up the slack for them as well. We can attend. We've very good level of medical training also.
Okay, stay with us, Brian. 0818715815. Ger Blackburn is a retained firefighter in Carnew in County Wexford. Ger, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. What type of calls do you get in Carnew? Do you get? I know you're near a very busy motorway, so do you get car accidents?
We actually we don't get any calls on the motorway. That'd be more gory and airflow. We're further up in the mountains.
Okay, and Gorey have a special appliance, haven't they, for road?
Yeah, well, they have it. They have the same as Arklow. They have the tender. But we would be more. We're a very quiet station, so we're basically 50 or 60 calls a year. So, like the last bank holiday weekend, as Brian was saying there, lads couldn't go anywhere, but we didn't get any calls. We got one last night, but we were sitting at home Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay, because you were on call, yeah.
Because we're on call 24/7, and it's just like I'm only in it 2 years, you know, and I half knew coming into it that it was restrictive, but even then it just doesn't, you just can't grasp how restrictive it actually is. Like Brian says, we can't go shopping to Tesco's. Like the nearest supermarket to Carnew is Gorey, which is 20 minutes away. Sure, you can't do it. You know, you just can't, like, there's, like, I'm not running Carnew down, but it's a village. So, you know, I think there's two coffee shops and two shops in it. There's not a whole lot to do in the town. So, you know, you're kind of at nothing most of the time.
But, Jerry, you're not worried that one result of your action is that they'll close Carnew, that when you say we only get 51 call a week, well, they say, well, we'll close Carnew, the roads are getting better, the machines are getting faster, communication is getting more efficient, and instead of having the station in Carnew, we'll cover Carnew at a Gorey. Do you follow me?
Well, you see, that's a possibility. We get to the Healy beside us there, 10, 15 minutes down the road, but it'll take Gorey, by the time Gorey mobilise and get to, a house fire in Carnew, they'd be 40 minutes. Should the house be gone?
Yeah.
Like, there'd be nothing left. There'd be no life savable at that stage, you know?
And remind people as well, Jared, because it struck me recently, that firefighters have to clean up the road afterwards, don't they? That's your job. It's not the council's job.
No. So, and this is one of the argumentative points that we have about the pay scale. So if we get a call at 6 o'clock on a weekday, and it's the lads Gorey or Arklow, whoever's on the motorway, and it's a fatality or there's human body parts to be gathered. Yeah. Council workers will be there watching us do it or watching the lads do it, and they'd be on twice the money the firefighters are on.
And what time does their overtime start at?
4:30.
What time does your overtime start at?
10 o'clock at night.
And have you been walking up and down the side of a motorway picking up body parts?
Me personally, no, because we don't cover the motorway. But I know other lads that have done it, Jan.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay, where is Keane O'Donoghue, who's in Cavan, retained firefighter? Is it the same situation there, Keane? You're 2.5... K from the station, certain time you have to make.
Yeah, well, it's that way across the country. It's set in contract with every county council, 2.5 kilometres live and work with a response time of 5 to 10 minutes. It's what the contracts are provided by the local authorities to every firefighter in Ireland.
And how long have you been a retained firefighter?
So I'm coming up on 7 years this summer now. I've been as a retained firefighter. I joined it day after my 22nd birthday, and I've been doing it since.
And how busy are you? How busy is your station?
Cavan Town would be one of the busier stations in the county, because we'd be headquarters, so we do roughly about 150 call-outs a year.
Okay.
So you might go a stage during the summer, say the month of July, you might do 2-3 weeks, you mightn't have any call, or if you take the bank holiday weekend there, for example, there were 6 calls within from Saturday morning until midnight last night.
Generally, what were they? You don't give us the detail, but were they fires or accidents or swimming?
Accidents.
Yeah.
All 90% of them were accidents. Like, and it's the type of thing you have to deal with and go home and put a smile on your face and keep going.
Because accidents generally aren't nice to see, where there's people involved, obviously, and injuries, and sometimes horrific injuries as well, in the world that we live in. Keane, I know you can't talk about individual cases, but you do paramedic stuff as well, don't you? Retain firefighters.
Well, we do. So majority retain firefighters in Ireland are trained up to EFRs, which would be emergency first responders, which should allow us a little bit of advanced life-saving skills, say, with airways and that type of thing. So of late, say, with the crisis in the National Ambulance Service as well, we've been picking a lot of slack up, especially if you take a county like Cavan. Fair enough, we have the General Hospital in Cavan Town, but if you go to any of our outlying stations, ambulance response time can be quite high. So, like, accidents we're attending ourselves from Cavan Town, the ambulance might be 20 minutes, half an hour away by the time we arrive on scene. So it's up to firefighters on the scene to deal with the emergencies then. So that, let that be an accident, an attempted suicide, a cardiac arrest, choking, you name it, we have to deal with it. It's in our remit, we have to do it.
Yeah. And Brian,
it's not for everyone. Like, there's some lads joining the service, and a lot of people out there here, firefighters, and they think automatically to put fires out. But as you heard there, we do a lot more than just put fires out.
I know that. Brian Murray, given that you've decided, or the circumstances have forced it on you, that because you're on call, you have to be on call a certain time, limit a certain distance, this is your main livelihood. Have you worked out when you are actually on call? In other words, for two or three, I don't know how it works out, 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 nights. Have you actually worked out how much you're paid an hour?
I think one of the lads might work at Keane, would actually be the best man to speak to.
Yeah, okay, Keane, did you work it out?
It doesn't work out very much.
So on average, for your average firefighter, it's 99 cents an hour.
99 cents?
An hour. Some circumstances less if you're doing less call-outs. So as a young firefighter, say, I'm at the stage in my life where I'm looking for mortgages and loans and that type of thing. And when you go to the banks, they're laughing at you because you're showing up with a paycheck. So on average, out of our station, say, you might earn €20,000 a year in fire service. But out of that, the only guaranteed income is €8,500 retainer. So when you go to banks for your mortgage, they're looking and they're saying, well, you're $8,500 a year, we're not giving you the money, good luck. And they laugh you out the door.
And the rest of your income is completely dependent on the number of people who dial 999.
Yeah, and they won't even average it out. So if you take an average of the last 3 years, say, wages 20, the banks won't accept that.
Okay. Wayne Cox is in Gorey, again in Wexford. Wayne, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe. How are you doing?
You say most people don't have much... Well, most people call you volunteer firefighters, which is a complete misnomer. Most people don't have much an idea, as you say to me here, what a retained firefighter is.
Yeah, I mean, I'd just like to touch on something there that Brian said. In County Wexford, we have 5 minutes to get to the fire station.
Wow.
We're supposed to be out the door in the truck in 8 minutes. And just for your listeners there, just to put it into perspective, so for 337 days a year, we have to be no more than 5 minutes from this building. If you could imagine that at your own house, that you can't go more than 5 minutes from your own house for 337 days a year and just take off your 28 days annual leave there. It's worse than COVID.
So you have to have when you're on call, how many days are you obliged to be on call on a year again?
337.
Okay. But when you're on call, you have those restrictions, time and distance. But does that mean, like, can you... Well, Keane said he couldn't. Keane and Carnew said you can't go to the nearest supermarket because it's more than 20 minutes away.
Absolutely. Well, just to let you know there, when I first joined, I've been over 21 years now in the fire brigade in Gorey.
Okay.
And I remember the first day I got my pager and went home, my children were 4 and 6 at the time. My wife said to me, oh, I'm just going to run to the supermarket. And I said, yeah, okay, you have to take the children with you. And it was kind of like the look on her face. It was just the realization that it's not just me on call, it's the whole family that's on call.
Because you have to be available to go. That's the contract.
I can't be left with the children at any time, you know. And then your children also miss out on what most other children get, which is weekend trips away. Do you know, we get paid more money at weekends.
Okay.
We admit that. So you don't
want
to.
If you're on call at the weekend, or there is a call.
Absolutely.
Out. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, this crisis of recruitment and retention is nothing new. I started in 2002. In 2001, there was a government report released called Grant Farrell-Sparks. And in that report, it stated that the future sustainability of the retained fire service was at risk due to recruitment and retention problems. And now it's 2023 and nothing has been done. It's crazy.
And am I right that one of your arguments is that the retained firefighters, I don't have to fluently put this without upsetting other people, but the retained firefighters have to have a greater time commitment to the job than cities where there are full-time firefighters. Do you follow me?
Yeah, like, no, that's absolutely right. If you get a job in a city as a full-time firefighter, you do a shift in a station. I'm not even sure how much. Let's say you do a 12-hour shift.
Yeah.
But when you finish that shift, you can go and live wherever you like, as long as you turn up to your shift. You don't have to live within the distance of that station. And talking to Brian there, yeah, in Bray. Now, Bray are a busy station.
Yeah.
And the likes of Nace and Newbridge and Wexford Town would also be busy stations.
Okay.
But the problem is they're still understaffed because it's too expensive to live in those towns near the station.
Okay, good point.
So regardless of whether you're busy or not, the recruitment issue is still the same.
Yeah, I see that point. What can you tell me, generally? I know Gorey is you have what, two trucks and an emergency tender for road traffic.
That's
accidents.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So would you see many? Well, it's a very, very busy motorway.
It is. I mean, the population of Gorey, Coretown, River Chapel, doubles in the summer as well.
Yeah, of course.
You know. Yeah. Now, a lot of our calls now are on the motorway. It's very busy. And, of course, usually when you're involved in going to collisions on the motorway, they're usually fairly bad as well,
oh,
as you can imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing I was reading in the Wexford people, I tend to read the same story a lot,
yeah,
that tragically the number of suicides in Wexford seems to be quite high. I presume, are you automatically called if there's someone, God forbid, found after taking their own life or dying by suicide? Are you automatically called out?
We're not automatically called out to those, although we are called out. You see, a lot of the issue recently is with the problems with the National Ambulance Service being also, you know, completely underfunded. There's a lot of times now where we get called instead of the ambulance service. So we're nearly propping up that service. So we called to cardiac arrest, other medical emergencies, or car crashes where there aren't people trapped because there's no ambulance available.
Okay, now stay with us, Wayne. And indeed, other retained firefighters are, I don't even think the word, I said a lot of people call them volunteered or not, give great service, and I don't even think the word retained is adequate to describe what the callers have been telling us so far. Back after this break, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Retained firefighters are industrial action from today. Now, they will thankfully and still answer 999 calls, but other duties will be are in dispute at the moment. John Mulqueen is in Newcastle West, a retained firefighter. John, good afternoon.
How you doing, Joe?
Good. Well, put forward the arguments about why retained firefighters are much more than retained firefighters.
Well, yeah, that's what I came on to tell you, that like I'm only gone out of the service about 5-6 weeks. And I just can't believe, actually, what you give up. I was saying it that, you know, when you join it first, it's all exciting and you're committed. And then if you like it, you'll stay committed and you literally become institutionalized to it. And you actually don't realize how much you're giving up and how much time that you have to put into it, you know.
So when you, so when a retained firefighter is on call, it means the pager, you have to carry the pager with you 24/7 for that shift.
Exactly. It's 24/7. As long as you're in town, you're carrying the alerter. And like, I'm just, there's a lot more, you know, we'll say I have a full-time job and you don't realise things like that, okay, your pager goes off and it's your work and you're gone for 3 or 4 hours. And then you come back, then that time has to be made up. So you could be coming in Saturday morning or you're working back late in the evenings to make up that time, you know. Like, it's just even training where, you know, there's a pile of training to do with cutting gear, first aid. There's a million chainsaws, all kinds of stuff that you have to do. And, like, that is done then on usually Monday to Friday, and you have to take time off work to go and do that. And that generally comes out of your holidays if you don't have holidays or you can't work it up. There's so much more to think about than just the money, you know.
So why did you stay in it for 20 years, John?
I loved it. I loved the job. I actually loved the fact that you're going out and you're basically, anytime you're going out to help someone. And I got great satisfaction from the job itself. And like, I mean, even the wages, if you have a full-time job and then you're in the fire brigade as well, like, I mean, the wages are small enough, but like, you take the tax out of your wages and like, you know, people that are doing it and are committed, they're not really doing it for the money, like.
Yeah, okay, exactly, 80 cents an hour.
Because you're not paid the money, like.
Yeah. Now, John, the when I hear Newcastle West, and I have a particular interest in the fire service, but I think of that. Now, it's a good, tell me even, is it 10, 15 years ago when a guard of Barry Callagher and retained firefighter Michael Liston were killed when they were answering, attending to a road traffic accident?
That's correct. Yeah, I was down with that call.
Okay, and when was that, John?
Look, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you the exact year. It was a good while ago, but that was tragic. It was
You were attending a road traffic accident.
Well, I wasn't
at night time.
We were called in after it was fines were actually at the call. And then the accident happened, and then other fire brigades were in to support them. So that's how we were called
in. And the Garda and the firefighter were basically working to help whoever was in the car accident. And another car, unfortunately, came. It was nighttime and collided with them.
And it was like, from talking to the firemen down there at the time, it was just amazing that more people weren't killed.
Good God. And what call did you dread the worst, John? Do you follow me? What was it? A fire? Was it a car crash?
No, it's like it's the call that you know, the person that you know.
Okay.
You know.
And if you hear there's a house fire, or if you're called out to a house.
No, each, like, I never thought about, like, you go to a call and, like you said, there's a myriad of different calls that you go to, but. Like, you don't know when your pager goes off, you don't know what you're going to.
Yeah.
So it's only when you get to the station you realise what it is. And yeah, I mean, if it's a bog fire, a forestry fire, people are more relaxed. But I mean, if it's a serious accident or a house fire or, you know, it's something serious, then obviously the tension levels goes up and the heart rate goes up. Yeah. And it's a different process, like.
Wayne Cox over in Gorey, John is in Newcastle West. Wayne Cox, what call do you dread the most? Is it when you get a call from a house and saying there's people in the house?
I'd have to say that the most impactful calls that I was at are car crashes.
Okay.
I don't mind saying that the first fatal car crash that I was at, nothing prepares you for what you see. And that kind of played on my mind for about a week after that. You kind of keep seeing the image in your mind. Fortunately or unfortunately.
And Wayne, when you arrive at that car crash, you can't resile. You have to get working.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Now, that's why, you know, it's not for some people. We have had people join. And they might be out at a few car crashes within their first year and they'll leave. You know, some people just can't handle that.
When we start, it's 3 weeks recruits training now. It was 2 weeks when I joined.
Okay.
And there's no preparation in that whatsoever that can prepare you for what you're going to see.
No.
Good gosh.
Can I come in there, Joe?
Yeah, John. Is it John? Yes.
Yeah, it's just there is, but it's a group effort as well, and not to be putting people off from joining the fire brigade. We'll say if there are people, there are people in the fire brigade, and they don't like heights, and there are people in the fire brigade, and they're not mad about blood, and you know, but like there's always the person that doesn't want to do that. They can go and do traffic. Okay. They can bring stuff. You know, it is unavoidable to some extent, but you can kind of insulate yourself as well, you know, if you want to, you know.
And there's good as there is, and I know Dublin Fire Brigade a fair bit. There's great camaraderie and support.
If you get a good crew among each other, together, yeah. it's a fantastic thing, you know. But like even. The numbers as well, like there's 12 in most of the stations, we'll say, and like I left 6 weeks ago. My job hasn't been even advertised yet. It'll probably be months before my job is advertised. There's another person off on long-term illness.
Yeah.
So that station now is down to 10. And you come into the summer and this fella's booking holidays. Then you end up with a station that's two pump. It's gone down to one pump.
I know what you mean. Like, you can only send out one truck.
Yeah. Like from what I've found, like the county councils, not so much the assistant chiefs and that, but I don't know, it's a big, pretty faceless organisation, and like they knew the day I was retiring 20 years ago when they got my date, you know, so they knew I was retiring. They really should have had someone in there 3 or 4 months before I retired that they could be eased into it.
That's a good point, yeah.
You know,
and did you get any recognition, John, when you retired?
Not a bean. We'll say I retired, and about 6 weeks after I retired, I got a letter from HR, from the County Council, saying thanks very much for your services.
Hang on, a fire, the difference, like a fire officer has a fire station. And you have one there in Newcastle West. You were saying on the day you retired, there wasn't a little ceremony in Newcastle West.
Oh, well, that we did, but that's between ourselves.
You did, sorry.
The crew.
No, but no one came.
In fairness, there's our assistant chief, we'll say, the boss over the station, came out and wished me well on the Thursday night.
Okay.
But I'm just talking about, we'll say, HR, all I'm trying to say is they don't really, the people that are employing us, I don't think fully understand. You know, you go to the assistant chiefs and that, they're full-time and they're in Limerick City. They have an idea, but they don't really grasp the full extent of what we do, you know. And as far as HR and anything beyond that, they hardly know we exist. You know.
Yeah.
That's from what... I mean, I not a letter, nothing to say, just to let you know that you're retiring on such a date and your contract won't be renewed. No, I was gone 6 weeks before I got a letter from the county council.
You see, I'm just thinking as well when we did the story last week of soldiers, heroic soldiers who died. There was a number of them, family contacted us on one day, and bizarrely, or coincidentally, or tellingly, both of them had been killed in different incidents on the same day. It was their anniversary last week. But I didn't notice, if you become chief of staff of the army, you automatically, regardless of whether you ever saw action or not, you automatically get a Distinguished Service Medal, which is the highest honour in the army. But the two individuals that we were talking about, Barry and Ted, I think were the two first names. The two individuals that we were talking about died in active service and were told, because the family didn't apply within 2 years. By the way, I'm not being facetious here. They were still dead 2 years later, by the way. But because the family didn't apply or make the case within 2 years, there was no prospect of them getting, again, not being facetious, a miraculous medal, let alone a Distinguished Service Medal. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Okay, stay there, John. Declan Kenny has just retired as well. Declan.
Joe, how are you getting on?
Your contribution, please.
Well, I just listened there. I just retired in October, just gone after 16 years, and I actually worked with Brian Murray Sr. So
who died, who was killed in a fire.
Did some training out in Bray, so I just wanted to say hello to Brian, the son, and wish him well. And in fact, wish all the retained firefighters well up and down the country, because it's a tough job. And look, I know you've been asking people about their tough calls and the bad calls, and we've done them all, and that is the job. I mean, I know it's not for everybody, but you do have to do those things. I think for me, what was worse than the really bad car crashes and the suicides and all those terrible things is you are, as a retained firefighter, always working in your local community. So there's a good chance
when
that beeper goes off, you're going to rock up to a cardiac arrest and you're going to be working away on this, maybe this poor elderly man. And you look up and realize, I know this woman, she works in the bank or the post office or whatever, and she's looking down at you working away, and you're going to try and save this person and do your very, very best. And the truth is, you're not always going to have a good outcome on these things. And you're going to have to maybe meet that woman the following week later on in a shop. And that's something that, again, you don't get in the busier stations. I think people don't fundamentally realise how the service works, because there's 3,000 odd firefighters in the country, and over like 2/3 of them are us, the retained brigade. But as you've already pointed out, we do get paid. We just don't get paid enough. And you just don't get the time off that you need to have a normal family life. I always likened it to Stockholm syndrome, you know. You love the job, but you're a prisoner in your own home. I mean, I would love to still be working in that job, Joe. There's no doubt about it. I love the job. But I got to the stage at 55 where I realised if I didn't leave and retrain, I'd be spat out at about maybe 60 max with no chance of getting... No one's going to hire me at 60. Even though I'd have an interesting skill set. I mean, I can cut up a car for you, Joe, that's not going to get me a job in Tesco. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to think about what you're going to do when you leave. And there aren't very many other jobs like that in the country. In fact, I don't think there's any other job like the retained, but it's in dreadful need of an overhaul. And somebody mentioned Farrell Grant Sparks, and this is just classic Irish stuff. We wait and wait and wait. Like, look at the taxi service. We waited, we deregulated. It was a nightmare. We waited until the water was, 50% of the water was going into the ground. We finally got around to trying to fix it. We made a mess of it again. So we're doing exactly the same thing with the retained. We're waiting till it's fundamentally broken and everybody they're leaving in their droves, and the fix is going to be very, very, very hard. And it's particularly hard. Go ahead.
Well, young Brian was quite taken by this. A lot of things you've all said. But young Brian Murray Jr., whose father, along with Mark, was killed in a fire, firefighters, he was saying, okay, you work for the council or your employer, but the council won't give you a full-time council job because you're a retained firefighter.
It is kind of largely ironic. We had a young lad here in the local... it was a water treatment plant, I think, who wants to work for us, and he would have been a brilliant candidate. And the local authority said, no, you can't work in the local authority as a firefighter because you've already got a job in the local authority and we can't afford to lose you to the fire service. And yet they will also, the same fire service will then give us leaflets as firefighters to say, take this leaflet to your local employer and tell them that it's a great career to have and you'll be an asset to the job. So it's kind of like classic Irish doublespeak, you know. We know it's a problem, but we're not going to try and fix the problem. And this, like I say, it's been going on for so long. And I live right across the road from my station, so I'm talking to the lads all the time, and I can see they're still on their knees. They're still crying out for people. And when people realise how restrictive the job is, they just walk away. They just can't commit to it.
Then why did you stay in it for so long? I'm not being glib, Declan.
No, not at all. Not at all. I stayed in it because I loved it. Simple as, I just loved the job. I also was in a good place, as in my... I'm 55 now, so my kids were sort of reared. My house, wasn't paid for, but at least I was paying the bills. So I was settled in the community. For a lot of younger lads and lassies joining now in their 20s, as somebody else alluded to there, you walk into a bank and they just won't have any time for you at all. You can't get a mortgage. And times are getting harder. They're not getting easier for people now with financial restrictions. They're getting harder. So it's becoming an impossible job to attract people into. And therein lies the rub. So until they actually sit down
and work out a proper pay scale, work out proper crew, give people proper time off. And the other thing, I don't know if it's been mentioned, and I know it's not very popular to say this, but the service will collapse overnight if the social welfare pull the rug on the fire service, because the fire service is propped up by the social welfare. And it's kind of almost like...
In what way, Declan? How are they...
Because you can't get a job when you're in the retained. Everybody's saying, like, our turnout time was about 4 to 5 minutes. We had a great turnout time in Luton. Great crew, brilliant people, the best people, friends for life. The training's excellent. Everybody who's, even the senior staff, a lot of time for them. Great people. Running a great service, but you cannot get another job in the town because you just simply can't commit to it. And what's the only other thing you can do if you can't get a job? You have to sign on. And it's not something people want to talk about and retain. It's almost like a shameful little secret. But it's the truth, unfortunately. And the social welfare know about it. The council know about it. The Department of the Environment, where the overseeing department for us, know about it. No one wants to talk about it. Because, essentially, the good taxpaying people of Ireland are propping up the first service. And that's not the way, I mean, it's not the way it should be. The ambulance service isn't run that way.
Okay, I'm sorry for talking over you there, but your line is disintegrating. Mm-hmm. One of the fascinating points you made, which is self-evident, but may not be obvious to a lot of people, because you have to be within 2.5k of the station, because you have to be within a certain time limit of getting to the station, that means the call outs are going to be in the locality generally that you live, which is a challenge. Andrew Hickey is the SO, the station officer in Tullow in Carlow. Andrew, what happened to you 9 years ago?
Yeah, Joe, I was listening to your program, just switched it on there, and guys were saying the different types of incidents we go to and what we get called to. And about 9 years ago, I remember my daughter getting up, and she was going off in her car to go into Carlow Town, to see the stages of the rally. And about half an hour later, my pager goes off, so we all run to the station. We're in it within 3-4 minutes. The fax machine prints out two persons trapped or road traffic accident just down from Killary Cross, which is about 3 miles from Tullow where we live. Mm-hmm. You think no wiser of it, and we were just driving down the hill towards a really bad bend where we get a number of calls. And as we were driving out, we're saying, "Ah, yeah, it's the usual spot, lads, where we're going to, blah, blah, blah." Then I spotted a red car. My daughter has a red car. Then I spotted it was a Hyundai Coupe. She has a Hyundai Coupe. And there was the car after rolling down the hill 3 or 4 times. And the roof of the car wrapped around a tree. My daughter had been ejected out through the window, and my niece was really, really badly injured inside in the car. So that's the kind of thing you're faced with, Joe, you know, straight on. We had 10, 11 firemen there. Like, to this day, it's still emotional, very emotional.
And when that happened, did your other colleagues realise it was your daughter in the car?
Yeah, like, we'd all know each other's families really well. Close bond. So basically, as SO, I meant to stand back and watch, but because it was my daughter, I just literally got stuck in. I grabbed cutters and I was spreaders, and I was popping open the door to try and get them out as quick as I could. And for luck, a very good friend of mine who was the Assistant Chief Fire Officer, Mr. Michael Gahan, he's actually SACFO in Bray at the moment. Michael turned up to the incident, and, you know, I said to Mick, "Can you take over, please?" I said, "I need to get my daughter out. I need to get my niece. I need to work with this." So he actually took over the incident, allowed me to work as a firefighter then, just to get stuck into it. I had a lot of training in road traffic accidents because I represented Ireland in the ROI and represented Ireland all over the world. You know, it was just that I felt I needed to get stuck into it. But the point being...
By the way, Andrew, did your daughter and your niece know that their father and uncle was outside cutting the car up?
My daughter knew, yeah. My daughter was conscious, and my niece was very conscious because she had really, really catastrophic injuries, like life-changing injuries.
Oh, my God.
And I travel in the ambulance down with them and sat by their bed when they're in the ER for hours and hours, and so did the rest of the family. Like, it was, but that's the type of thing, Joe, that you're up against. You know, you just do not know. And I could tell you other incidents, horrific incidents that I've been at where I had to do some horrific stuff. Your colleague said not to mention it on air because it's quite gruesome. But again, anybody in the first, and I'll tell you this, anybody in the first are not in it for the money. There's no way we're in it for the money. But we're at a stage now in life whereby you can't survive on your 80 euros, 80 cents per hour, or, you know, getting 200 or 300 euros a week out of fire service every week. It's just not sustainable. The system is too old, it's broken, and it needs to be replaced, you know. We're at that stage.
Yeah, that seems to be widespread, the feeling among firefighters. Back after this break, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
The unusual position of retained firefighters, nearly 2,000 of them, our major cities, Dublin, Cork, obviously, Limerick, to a certain extent, Galway and Waterford, have a certain complement. Well, Dublin would have nearly 1,000 full-time firefighters. But most of the fire stations in the country are staffed by retained firefighters. And the idea is that they were for local people. Only local people could apply because you had to get to the station within 5 or 6 minutes. You had to be within 2.5k of a station if you were on call. But the job, as we see now, has changed dramatically over the years. And the retained firefighters are now arguing that they want to be treated better. They get a retained fee, I think, of between 8,000 and 10,000 a year. And then you're paid per call out. And in other words, the busier the station, the more you get paid. But if your station is not busy, thankfully, you suffer. Anto Kirwan is you're a retained firefighter in County Carlo, Anto.
I am, Joe. First of all, I'd just like to say thanks very much for giving the firefighters of Ireland a voice today, I suppose.
What are your demands, Anto, at this stage? What will settle this dispute? Because it's only going to get worse, isn't it, if it's not dealt with?
It is only going to get worse, Joe, and it is continuing to get worse at a very rapid rate. The problem at the moment is recruitment and retention. So everything you've heard beforehand, if you listen, analyse that, how can you recruit anybody into the fire service? From a retention point of view, those problems obviously come into it as well. But on top of that, what people I don't think realise, in our station, for example, we've 3 people out long-term sick. The rest, management don't pick up that slack. It's the firefighters on the ground have to cover for the 3 long-term sick. So if you're in, I don't know, working in maybe a nursing hotel or a nursing home or a hotel or something like that, you can pick up the phone and pick up agency staff to fill the void if someone's going to be out long-term. But we've got people out over a year and stuff. So the rest of the station is picking up that slack. So that's putting more pressure on the firefighters that's there, and it's adding to the whole retention problem. Firefighters are leaving in their droves. The vast majority of the firefighters in the country are waiting to see what happens with this, and then they'll make their decision.
And what needs to happen? What are your demands?
Our demands are that stations are brought up to adequate crewing levels, and that we get time off. You've heard multiple times by all of the firefighters, they've all mentioned it, it's all year, 24/7. The way stations are at the moment with manning levels, a lot of the stations across the country are lucky to have 1 crew in a station.
Okay.
So if you think about everybody in that station is entitled to their holidays, you can't actually give everybody their holidays without the manning levels being right in the station. We're gone to the stage in our station where we're booking a holiday if you have to go away for a couple of hours to something important just to make sure you can go to it.
That you won't be rostered on call?
Yes, that you won't be told you can't leave town.
So, okay, to get more people in, you need to increase the, first of all, the basic retention money.
Basic retention money. If you think about it, Joe, a small station that does maybe 20 calls a year, and a station that's doing 300 calls a year.
Yeah.
They're both given the exact same commitment, Joe.
Good point.
They're both staying around. They both have the same level of training.
Okay.
They're on call. They're dealing with the public. Any public members out there know the amount of charity and community things to retain firefighters of Ireland get involved in. We are out there in our communities. We're helping. We're volunteering. We're trying to keep our skills to the best they can possibly be. But now we need everybody else's help.
So say
we need change.
If it's between
we need change.
Okay. If it's between 8 and 10, the retained basic amount, very basic amount, have you put a figure on what you would settle for?
There's figures. I don't want to actually push the negotiating committee or the talks that are, well, talks have stopped at the moment, but hopefully people are coming back to the table. So I don't want to actually throw figures out there. And there's people more qualified than me working on that. But Joe, they're paying tax out at 8,500. If you're one of those stations that's only getting 20 calls a year, you're getting nothing out of fire calls. So it's just the retainer you're there for. You're given all that commitment for the retainer. So say they get 20 calls a year, they have the retainer. Maximum, what are they going to get? 10,000 a year, and they have to pay tax over. And you're on duty 24/7. Now, the other thing is, some of us on the older contracts, we get a lump sum when we leave. But all the newer contracts, they're on a pension and a superannuation. So basically, the firefighter that's on 20 calls a year has a tiny, tiny pension when they leave. The firefighter that's on 300 calls a year will have a much better pension. But they both have the same training. Okay. They're both given the exact same commitment and they're both going to the same level of service.
And they're both on call for the same amount of time. Now, does that not mean, Ant, there was not going to be spite face scenario that the powers that be are going to say, okay, stations with less than 100 calls a year, we're going to shut them down and move the service to the busier station nearby, which in turn means that the number of people who can apply is decreased because I have to live within 2.5 k of the station or whatever. Is there not a danger here that there will be a call for to shut down stations that are only doing one call a fortnight?
But if we keep going the way we're going, Joe, they're going to be shut down anyway because there's no one to man them.
Okay, because you're not getting the staff in.
Because you've no staff. A crew of six, Joe. So you've an officer in charge and five riders, right? But you have stations now that might only have 3 and 4 available on the weekend.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
And that's right across the country, Joe.
Yeah.
And we're heading now, we're in one of the hottest times of the year. Everything is really dry. It's not really good timing that all this has happened, but we're entering into industrial action, possibly strike in a week's time. And are we heading into warnings now for fire warnings this week? You know?
No, we definitely are, fire, yeah.
You know, like, we cover so many elements. We have medical, we have fire, we have car crashes, we have river rescue, we get called out to animal rescues. What else?
I also know there's been quite a few of them in the last few years. Tragically, people who haven't given the natures... thankfully, it's not as bad here as it is abroad. But given the nature of people who haven't been seen for a long, long time, who's called to, well, the Gardaí are called, but who's called to break into the house and to remove remains? It's invariably the fire service, the local.
We only had one ourselves a couple of months ago. The body inside in the house, Lord of Mercy on the man. And basically the guards couldn't gain entry and we were called to gain entry for the guards. So when everything was cleared by the guards, we were very dignified to make sure the man was looked after properly and covered him up and tried to show him some respect. And that's one thing you'll always find with the fire brigade, the retained fire service, because we're embedded in the community. Whenever we're called to somebody like that, there's a good chance that someone on that crew knows the person or knows someone belonged to the person. So it's always just so professional. Firefighters always treat people with so much dignity, and it's more than a job. You don't stay in this if you just look at it as a job. You know, people that are firefighters love the job. They love being in their community and they love helping their community.
Yeah, I get that sense.
Or they're one of the last things that's left in the community when something goes wrong. As people say, when it goes wrong, you may call the fire brigade because there's nothing else left there.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And I used to always say to my three children, if they were away and they were in trouble or there was an issue or they needed help, go walk to the local fire station. And no matter what country you're in, and they're always an extraordinarily helpful group of men and women. Tom Kitterick. Tom is in Westport, and I know you're chairman of the negotiating committee for SIP2. I'll come to that in a sec. But Anto just mentioned there about having to go into a house. You've recovered a body that was unfortunately deceased for over a month.
Yes, Joe. Thank you for having us on and giving us time to explain the fire service to the nation. Yes, we would have been called to. I think we had about something like three of those incidents inside the 1 year at one stage, and then we didn't have any for a good while after that again.
Thank God. Thank God.
So in some cases, the person, God rest them, maybe deceased for a month. Mm-hmm. And the guards just get notified of it, or someone spots it or sees it. They haven't heard from them.
And are you called, Tom, because you've access to protective gear and breathing apparatus if you need it?
Yes, in that case, on I think all of the occasions we use breathing apparatus, and we also put a chemical suit on, we have the gear to do those things.
Okay.
And as your previous caller said, there it has to be done with dignity. That's extremely mm-hmm. important, and your previous caller as well said about how there's always someone who knows the person involved, or knows someone who knows them. You know, there is always that. You know.
It's a community effort. Yeah, and I'm cognizant of a point, even though. And I keep using the word thankful, but even though, for example, you might only have to don that chemical suit and that particular form of breathing apparatus, and other different forms to do with the environment and the chemical suit or whatever, you might only have to do that once a year, but you still have to be trained to do it.
Yes, and you have to.
Because you're the only training. One, the firefighters are the only one in the community who can do it.
That's right, yeah. There's nobody else trained in wearing a breathing apparatus except the fire service. And the chemical suit is basically like a space suit that goes right over
everything.
I've seen it. It's a very awkward piece of equipment for working inside, but it's still to protect you from, essentially to protect you from maybe a hazardous substance, but it can be used for those type things as well.
So what? Where is this strike going to go, Tom? What are the activities you were not doing at the minute since the strike started? Since the industrial action started?
Since this morning, we're just basically doing everything. All we're doing is responding to calls and all the other activities, which is an awful lot. An awful lot goes on in the fire station, as well as calls. We do typically 2 hours training every week on a specific night. We service our breathing apparatus every week. We check the all the equipment we carry, and there's more and more equipment now on fire engines. Yeah. You know, since 40 years ago, the equipment would have doubled, I'd say, on most fire engines now. We have water rescue equipment, and, we have a makeshift shower for chemical incidents. Yeah. We've all those kind of things, and those all have to be checked routinely. You know, whether it's once per month or once per 3 months,
or
once per week, and we do that. We do 100 hours training a year, which is 2 hours per week, and we do the breathing apparatus, and then we would attend refreshers on all the courses. You do your initial courses.
Okay, and that's, again, it's regardless of the number, this is the world we live in, it's regardless of the number of call-outs there are, you have to have that knowledge.
Oh, you have to have that knowledge and
training.
And you have to keep refreshed in it. If you're not getting calls, the in-station training is even more important, and the refreshers are even more important.
Good point. Yeah, yeah.
So what's
the next step if there's no response from you deal with the local government management board, don't you, on behalf of all the county councils?
Yes.
If there's no give in the next week, what happens next?
If there's no give in next week, we move on to rolling strike. And
what does that mean?
That is basically. Yeah, that is basically that 50% of the fire stations in each county will be off the run. So you'd be actually running with effectively half in each fire, in each fire in the county each time. So for every county, they will have 50% of the stations responding at any one time, not the full complement.
And then what happens after that?
After that, on the 20th, that goes on from the 13th to the 20th. After the 20th, it's all out strike.
20th of June?
The 20th of June, yes. Yeah.
That's only 2 weeks away.
That's only 2 weeks away. But we have given, we did give adequate notice for this. We started balloting, I think it was last October, and okay. All the managements, got notice that we were going to conduct the ballot in the first place. And then when the talks broke down, that's the 10th of May, so that's nearly a month ago as well. The notice has been, pretty good, mm-hmm. and we're trying to be fair on this as well. We're responding to all our calls this week. We're responding to all our calls next week as well, except there will be time delays with the 50% cover. And
I'm especially thinking of car crashes. I really am, because I know I don't know what the contingency plan is. Do they call in the civil defence or the army? But the army have only a certain small number of appliances. Civil defence.
The army aren't. The army don't have barracks everywhere in the country anymore either.
And what happens? What happens in a road traffic accident where someone is trapped in a car? I thought it was primarily, if not only, fire engines that have that equipment.
Nobody else has it. Yeah, nobody has the cutting gear or the training to use them.
That's going to be horrific. That's going to be horrific. If it's a car.
Yeah, it is very precarious. But the local authority, I understand. They're in the middle of drafting up a contingency plan for this, and they have to reveal that to us, and we'll cooperate with that as best we can. But we cannot beat the contingency plan and be on strike at the same time. That just won't work. It would be better to solve the problem before that.
And what would solve the problem? Is there an amount of money that you've nominated?
Definitely the whole question of fixed pay. Our pay, as the other callers have explained to you, is moving around the page. And if you went to a bank or, for a mortgage or anything like that. And bear in mind as well, even if you want to attract someone into the fire service outside the 2.5 kilometres, somebody might apply that lives 10 miles away, for example. And they say, I'd like to do that. And I go into town. And I'll win, So good luck with that on 8,500 of a retainer. That's all you can show to the bank. So you see, you have that problem if you don't already live in that very restrictive 2.4 or 2.5 kilometres. You're trying to attract others that might do it.
See your point, yeah.
And you are trying to attract them into probably what is definitely the...
Well, Tom, what I'm hearing is, without exception... Every retained firefighter loves the job, but is not happy with the terms and conditions.
Yes, I have met firefighters right around the country because I've been in the National Negotiating Committee. And I've met them from every single county at this stage, lots of them. And I think I haven't heard one complain about the type of job they have done.
They know.
They've all done them. You never get a complaint about the actual work.
Yeah, okay.
It's the 24/7 really, the top complaint, 24, and then the fixed pay element of the job.
Yeah, I just wondered sometimes in Ireland, do people fully appreciate what you do? I know when you go to the States or when you go to France, the fire station, if it is only retained fire station, is revered, and every civic event is always led by a group of firefighters marching because they're regarded as the cream of the town. And the States, good God, firefighters.
Yeah, people have gone to New York to the St. Patrick's Day parade and joined the parade there. Irish firefighters have gone there. And the firefighters, there. I just treat it like God, really, you know. To the public, they're a very, very special bunch of people.
I know, and there's a big Irish connection as well. If you look at the number, the 300...
Very big Irish,
the 395...
I believe 60% of the New York Fire Service is Irish.
Yeah, well...
The first or second generation.
I know when I went there after 9/11 and I was looking at the roll call, I think of the 395 firefighters that were killed on 9/11. Yeah. It read, Tom, like an Irish telephone directory. You began with Ahern and Bourne and McCarthy and McAleese and Murphy and O'Brien. And anyway, back after this break. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
It doesn't affect people outside our major cities, but from today, the retained fire service, you go through most Irish towns of any size and you will see the fire station, usually extraordinarily well looked after, and they are part of the community. They are staffed by retained firefighters, who are basically people in the old days who used to be the local mechanic or the local farmer that lived near the station, and they would be doing their day job and would be called if there was a fire. If there was a fire, and now it's done on a pager, you're expected to be there within 7 or 8 minutes. You're expected to live within 2.5 km generally of the station. So it's you're rostered on call. You don't decide when you don't nominate your times to be on call. There's a certain amount of days every year, 3:30, you have to be on call. And you're given your roster. If you get a roster for the weekend, on the one hand, it's more limiting, but on the other hand, you get a few extra bob on top of the between 8,000 and 10,000 retainer you get every year. Where's Brian Hamill? Brian, you're at the other end of the business. You're at the car recovery business, and you come across a lot of firefighters, and obviously a lot of retained firefighters.
Yes, Joe, I come across them. Well, we won't say every day of the week, but certainly a lot of times every week. I would be involved in County Westmeath and with Mullingarvin, the main station, Moore, Kilbeggan, Athlone. But these guys and girls, what they do, Joe, is incredible.
Yeah.
They're the first people out there to that road accident. They're the people that are trained to take somebody out of a car or out of a lorry alive, if at all possible.
Yeah.
And to think in this day and age that we have these people on call to do a job like this. They're incredible people. And to think that to fight to get a few pound extra, we're awash with money, or supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, they're the very, very core of our society. When something goes wrong, you call in the Gardaí, you call in the fire service. And I'm only talking from accidents out on the roadway, and by golly, I have seen over my years, I'm over 50 years at this, to see the work that the fire brigade people and the Gardaí do on the side of a road, and to think that these fire people are fire brigade service are amateur, for want of a better word, which is not right, it's not the right word to put on it. I don't know what, but they're trained to do this. And to do it for the love of doing it.
I know the phrase you were looking for was not amateur. They're retained. But like you heard, Andrew Hickey rescued his own daughter, retained fire officer in Carlow. He was recognised internationally for his abilities to access a car when it's upside down or in a crash. And remember, and it was two different callers who've dovetailed this into my head. There are only, in every community of any size, there are only about between 10 and 20 individuals who can do a particular job, be it wear breathing apparatus, climb ladders, put out fires, cut cars in two, get people out without damaging. There's a very limited number of people in all our communities that do that. Very limited number. And as I said, we were talking about retrieving bodies that have been deceased. There's only a very, very few in your community that can do that job. Okay, Brian, I'll be back. Stay with us. I'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Joe Duffy. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Hayley, you're the partner of a retained firefighter. What's that like?
It's fairly difficult. Like, I'm only with him about a year, and I'm listening to all the other perspectives of, and it's just, it's something like, we all know there's fire stations in your townie, we all know what they do, yeah. But until you actually are with one and you know what it involves, it, like, you've no, like, the amount of times I've been left at Aldi, like, with the bags of shopping because the beeper goes off and he has to run, or, like, even now in the good weather, we're stuck, like, we can't go to the beach, he doesn't live near a beach, so we're just, you're just waiting, you're just waiting for the beeper to go off, like.
And when you say in a local, that these are experts, these are professionals. Remember, part of what they must do for their $8,000 basic a year, and then you're paid for every call out, if there are many call outs. But remember, they are the only people in your community who are experts, who train twice a week, sorry, train for 2 hours a week on new cutting equipment, new gear, new breeding apparatus, new ways of getting people out of cars, out of crash cars or fires. So it is, they are experts, pretty specialised experts in every community. And I don't know how long your partner's been a retained firefighter, but is it the same situation, Hayley? They love the job, but hate the terms and conditions at the moment.
He loves the job. He lives for the fire service. Oh, okay. Like, and even now, like, he's an instructor of two different things in there, but sure, that's all. He can't do any of that now. Strike going on. Like, it's just cold, you know.
Okay, let's hope something happens fairly, fairly quickly. I'm especially worried about the equipment that only firefighters have for cutting equipment for cars and that. If this full strike goes ahead and this day fortnight. Back tomorrow at 1:45, Lisa Marie Berry produced, and Catherine Thomas is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.